Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that
everybody
in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Good morning. Welcome in to the Thursday edition of 3 and Out right here in the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. I'm Houston Kress alongside Davey Hudson. Tanner Carson in on the ones and twos. Tanner, last time you were in for me on the ones and twos, it was a really sad day.
Very sad day.
Very tragic, sad, awful day. We're trying to alleviate that pressure and that pain. He was in here for...
Oh, Sunday.
Yeah.
Great time.
There was a Shiano Sunday, and then there was Pearl Sunday, we call it. It's a name that we use now. Yeah, not a good time. Not a good time on Sunday. But today is Thursday. It's NCAA Tournament Thursday. The real deal. Not the first four. Not this eight team. Maybe you're in, maybe you're not. It depends on our attitude towards the game. No. It starts today. It's for real. If you're listening, you're not working at all today or tomorrow or most of next week.
So only like $13 billion in lost productivity will be taking place over the next week and a half, 2 weeks. So,
is it $13 billion?
It's probably more.
With a B?
Yeah.
Billion? Is that a real number or are you just making stuff up? I know it is a high number, but I was just curious.
I mean, I don't know. Everyone has certain factors that they qualify or that they quantify into their equation to how they get to such number as far as lost productivity, but it's definitely in the billions. It's more than $10 billion.
Well, Wednesday is the most productive day of the week anyway. Thursday and Friday really trail off, but on weeks like this, they're essentially non-existent. You got spring breaks around the country. You got vacation. Hint, hint. Hint, hint. Our boss. A little vacation.
The reason I'm here.
Who does this? Who does this on NCAA Tournament Thursday and Friday? Just decides, you know what? I think I'm just going to take a trip. And then he went to St. Louis. Like, what is that about? Who does that? Who goes to St. Louis for your trip? Anyway, it is NCAA Tournament Thursday. If you are unaware, today, starting at tip-off of Game 1, we will be live at Elkmont Exchange in Old North Knoxville. If you have not been there, do yourself a favor. Make plans today, tomorrow, or Sunday, unless the unimaginable happens tomorrow. We'll be there Sunday as well. It is 745 North Broadway, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37917. You know me. I love full addresses. So make plans to be there. Elkmont Exchange, it's a brewery. It's an eating house. They have a full bar. They have like 20 TVs set up. We're going to be in the back room. We've got it all to ourselves. It's going to be a lot of fun. We did it last year. Again, it was a blast. We're going to be there today, tomorrow for certain, and every Tennessee game after that for the remainder of the tournament. I'm really hoping we're at Elkmont 7 times. Today, and then every Tennessee game henceforth. That means things are going well. That means good things are happening. So Elkmont Exchange, again, today, tomorrow, They open at 11. We'll probably be getting there around noon 30 each day, setting up. There's going to be some live broadcasts. I think tomorrow's schedule might be a little bit different because obviously the game's at 2:45, so I don't think the Drive's going to do their show tomorrow. But then Russell's going to hop back to the station for Voluntary Reaction immediately following tomorrow's show. The McKinney team's going to be out there. They're bringing you all of your NCAA basketball coverage on the network from now through the Final Four. They're going to be giving away some free food prizes, some free drinks. They're going to have some other stuff to give away. We're going to have some stuff to give away. It's going to be a really good time. Again, 7:45 North Broadway. It's Oakmont Exchange Brewery and Eating House. Make plans to come join us. It's going to be a friggin' wild time. What is the one thing today? Is it just the fact that you just get to watch basketball for like 12 hours straight? Is that the best part? Is it that everybody takes like the long lunch and then doesn't go back to work?
That's my favorite part. Because everything tips
like
off
sports,
at...
Sports towns are all in unison today, right? It's just like, hey, I'm going to... Yeah. I'll be back Monday.
I mean, when it all starts at 12:15 and your final game isn't scheduled to tip off till 9:57, I mean, that's just a dream.
It's a day. That is a day.
It's an event. Yes.
It's a 12-hour party today.
Oh, yeah.
What about you,
Hudson? I mean, you got four TV channels you get to go back and forth on. If you got a lot of TVs,
you can
put them all up there
together.
Well, I know, but it's just being able to watch multiple games at a time, and you typically have it to where you don't have two games ending at the same point where you're pretty much able to watch like the last 5 minutes of every game and it not conflict with watching the end of another game. And I just always like being on watch for upset alert. And that's what the round of 64, that's like the main storyline.
You got one today? You got like one that you're keeping your eye on?
I'm trying to... I keep getting
as far
Thursday
as like
and Friday
an upset
mixed
goes, or
up.
Just like a game in general,
like an upset, like a big one.
I mean,
like Yale LSU today. Like, is that the one?
When you say big one, are you saying like 13 seed and below? Because like,
I got
11 and 12s. They typically they're going to at least get a win.
I'll say 12. 11
okay,
and 7 is weird.
Then Murray State over Marquette got John Morant.
See, that's the thing. Have you noticed that? Like all those types of games, there's really no argument. I mean, you might think Marquette can win, but there's really not many people who are saying, oh, come on, Murray State doesn't have a chance. Like, everyone's kind of in agreement. It's like, oh, yeah, of course they do. It's like, oh, Yale over LSU. It's like, oh, yes, of course. Yale, yeah. I mean, because LSU is reeling. They're in deep trouble. They don't have their coach. Of course that one makes sense.
New Mexico State over Auburn. If Auburn's not hitting.
Maybe that one is the first one you would get some, oh, well, no, Auburn's really good, but I think New Mexico State's got a really good shot. I think they're a really good team.
You can always go back to a year wherever it's just like, all right, this team's got a chance to make a really, really deep run in the tournament, and they're like, well, all right, first day out there, they're done.
They won 30 games this year. Like, that's a good team.
Hasn't New Mexico State also not lost since the start of the year, basically?
Yeah,
like
something like
2019?
That. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know how many they've won in a row, but it's a ton. It's a ton. They are threatening Tennessee's like 19 straight there in the middle of the year.
I want to say since 2012, the 11 seed has a better record against the 6 seed.
Really?
It's almost 500.
Wow.
But I think it might be like one more game. And I've been talking about this for a couple of days now, but I think Belmont beats Maryland.
Yeah, you picked that game before you knew Belmont was in it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
That one kicks off at 3:10 today.
That's Hudstradamus, we'll call it. I had to think about that one for a second. Hudstradamus.
Yeah,
Do you like that one?
Not really. But
Crestradamus just plays, man. Just works.
Well, there's the like, you know, like Nostradamus.
Yeah, that's kind of the tie.
Oh, yeah. I get it. I was just thinking, like, I mean, the last time me and you did a show together, like, I hated that. Like, that was awful.
That was the rebirth of Crestradamus in 2019. Tanner, are you aware of what happened last time Davey and I sat in these two chairs?
Refresh my memory, please.
It was pre-Duke Carolina.
First time at Duke.
The first one. He asked me, how many points you think Zion's going to have? I said, zero. How many did he have, Tanner? He had zero. I said, yep. I said Luke May's going to lock down and ball out. Luke May had like 29 points. I said Carolina by 20. They won by 16. It was a good day for
That's
me.
Impressive.
I mean, it was all bull bleep, but it ended up being right.
Any bold predictions for today?
No, not really. At least not yet. I haven't had a ton of time to like look and just think, but I don't know. None of this stuff really stands out.
Yeah, I'm trying to like, as far as another team on upset watch, maybe Northeastern over Kansas, and that's just because Kansas is missing a couple of players.
Yeah. What was the note you sent me last night? Who's out for Syracuse now?
Oh, Frank Howard.
Frank Howard.
Yeah.
Who's the guy? Like,
they tried to trip Zion.
Yeah. I don't think that's the reason
NCAA got him.
He's suspended, but I was, of course, making jokes about it.
They sent in the NCAA's version of the FBI and said, "Mr. Howard, we need to speak with you for a minute."
Man,
no one does that to our Zion.
He was the only reason that Syracuse stayed in the game whenever they played in the ACC tournament.
It's a big deal for Syracuse.
I think Tyus Battle's already, he's still out, and he's their best player. So they're missing two players that the bulk of their points typically come from.
So if you've already inked in Syracuse, maybe scratch through that one and give Baylor a second thought. Because, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, unless you think Buddy Boeheim's going to get a Syracuse over the hump.
Man, I always love making fun of Boeheim. Like, I love it.
That's his kid.
No, I know. I'm saying Jim.
Yeah.
I can't this year. Like, too much has happened. Too much has happened to Jim Boeheim this year. Like, when he peed his pants.
That was funny.
And then he, had the incident on the interstate where he struck and killed a pedestrian. It's a very sad situation. Like, I dislike very much Jim Boeheim. I feel like he's kind of made himself untouchable this year with some incidents that have happened on and off the court. And that, to me, is that's hard. Because I love going in on coaches who I think are crap. Human beings, that is.
He's a
great basketball coach. He understands the game. He's figured out his little niche with the zone. What are they, 99.3% of the time they're playing zone?
If not more.
So it's he does his thing, and they always get in the tournament, and actually they always bust a lot of brackets. This year, though, it seems like it's going to be pretty tough, and I hate that because I want to be able to celebrate when Syracuse loses to Baylor, and I can't really do that because it's been such a weird year for Jim Boeheim. It's kind of a bummer. Honestly, I'll say this. Today's games, I'm not overly excited about any of these. Tomorrow's slate, infinitely better. Infinitely better on the Friday slate, which I think makes more sense. That's probably the day that the most people can take off and watch as much basketball as they want. So they put some of these kind of decent matchups. I mean, obviously, it's a balanced schedule. They put those today, and then we'll get all the good stuff tomorrow. But today, I want to check in on Yale-LSU. I don't know if I have to watch it start to finish. I want to check in on New Mexico State-Auburn. I don't think I have to watch it start to finish.
I mean, that's the glory of the games in the round of 64 is you don't have to really watch any game start to finish.
But normally there's one I feel like where I'm like, oh, this one is just crazy. Like, I don't care.
As far as interest, I don't really have that one. But as far as a game that I think will probably be the best game today, I think it'll be Seton Hall versus Wofford. I think that one's going to go back and forth, and it's going to be a close game throughout.
The problem is your names in that game are Seton Hall and Wofford, so it's not going to attract that much attention nationally.
No,
but I'm
nationally.
With you. It's a good
and,
game.
I mean, like the, I guess
you just like basketball.
I talked about it yesterday, but the storyline that I will follow is the Minnesota versus Louisville, and that's the first game to tip.
12:15.
Yeah.
Eastern, of course.
And it's just because
you just want to see the
Rick Pitino's son is coaching against.
But that's the thing. It's like
team.
And they show him in the stands
big.
And it's over.
Yeah,
and then it's like there's the moment, whatever. I don't know. Today, maybe it's a nice ease-in day. You get to watch basketball. I do like the fact that we don't have to wait around, 6-7 hours to watch Tennessee play. We get to enjoy today for what it is, which is just a full day of basketball at Oakmont Exchange, having a few drinks, eating some delicious food. Watching games I really don't care about, but maybe that's a good thing. I don't have to keep my eyes pinned to a TV. I will be checking out St. Mary's Villanova, and I will be checking out that Purdue game because obviously those are teams that, assuming Tennessee takes care of business tomorrow against Colgate and then dispatches the winner of Iowa-Cincinnati, it's likely going to be the winner of Villanova-Purdue. I think those teams probably feel pretty good about getting on to the second round, and that would be Tennessee's Sweet 16 opponent. It's weird that we're already thinking about Sweet 16, but again, the way this bracket sets up, I think that Cincinnati game in Columbus, round two, assuming they beat Iowa, which it's a very tight spread right now, but I think there's a chance that's your toughest game out of the first three. Cincinnati, very defensive-minded team. How does Tennessee kind of react to that? I think Tennessee's better in grind-them-down defensive-type games than they are with teams that just shoot from anywhere and have really great offensive firepower. I mean, the games we've lost this year have been to not teams like Cincinnati. Teams that want to try to play slow, we typically can grind them out. Teams like LSU, Florida, even though we beat Florida, Auburn, obviously Gonzaga, Kansas are just kind of elite, and then Kentucky, those are the teams we probably don't match up as well with. But I'll take any of Purdue, Iowa, Cincinnati, maybe Villanova. I haven't watched them much this year. I know they were ranked highly in the preseason based solely off what they did last year. Are they, like, really good? Are they halfway
decent? They're getting better. They won the Big East tournament. I personally wouldn't want to play Villanova just because that's a team takes a lot of threes and hits a lot of threes. So
I don't remember take the that exact for what's stat.
But Furman beat them by 8.
Defending national champions, they typically don't fare very well as far as making it past the Sweet 16 the year following their victory.
So you're saying if we meet Villanova, that's a good place to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Quickly on Villanova. They got absolutely housed by Michigan. 27 points was the difference in that one. Then they lost to Furman by 8. Their other losses at Penn, just Penn, by 3. They got beat, 23 to Connecticut.
They were not good at the start of the year. They were not good.
Did Connecticut make the NIT?
That's a good question.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just really curious.
I don't know.
They lost to St. John's, who last night lost, correct?
Arizona State. Yeah.
They got the best of St. John's in a game where Arizona State got out like really big early and then just kind of took the foot off the gas and cruised. They lost to Georgetown. Georgetown didn't make the NCAA tournament. I think Georgetown did make the NIT.
UConn, they're in their first year of Dan Hurley as their head coach. Mm. He had a really good season last year with Rhode Island.
Seton Hall got the best of Villanova. Good year for Seton Hall. How about Seton Hall? Just being big time. They beat Marquette by 6 at home when Marquette was ranked 10th. That's not bad. And then Providence, Xavier, and they did revenge match Seton Hall 74-72 for the championship in the Big East. I'll take my chances with Villanova. I thought Tennessee played really well against Villanova last year in Atlantis. And then Villanova did what they did to everybody, especially late in the year, where they come out of the second half. And at some point in that first 10 minutes, they did this thing where nobody in the entire country could play with them. They were bombing threes. They were getting dunks. They were rebounding. We've seen Tennessee go on stretches like that. Hopefully, Tennessee can be the team that does that consistently throughout this tournament. The last 2.5 minutes against Kentucky, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, where it really doesn't matter how good the other team is. There's nothing you can do when a team doesn't miss threes and can get the ball inside and force turnovers. That's what Villanova did last year. I'll take my chances on them in the Sweet 16.
Georgetown was in the NIT.
Oh, good.
They got beat last night by Harvard.
Well, they don't run Harvard at night, last time I checked.
71-68.
Close one.
Tommy Amaker.
Speaking of losses in the NIT,
yep.
I realize this is NCAA Tournament Thursday, but this is also like SEC basketball country. Did you see what Alabama did?
You mean the one-seeded Alabama?
Yeah, so they're the one seed, and they hosted. Who did they host?
Norfolk State. Yeah.
And what happened, Davey?
They got beat in overtime.
Overtime.
80-79. Yeah, I hate to see it.
Norfolk State is ranked, I believe, according to KenPom, like 288th. This is the lowest ranked team that Alabama has lost to in a very long time. I realize it's the NIT, so maybe you don't judge too harshly.
But you're home.
I'm aware. But like, there are a lot of Tide fans who are kind of out on Avery Johnson. Like, is that it?
But he played in the NBA.
I like it. I like Avery Johnson a lot. I think he's hilarious. I think he's incredibly smart. I think he's a good coach.
Plays well against Tennessee.
He's also
coaches well against Tennessee.
He does. He always has kind of our number. He like kind of figures this out. I think he's a good coach. I just think he's at Alabama. And when you don't have Colin Sexton or one of those incredible players at a place like Alabama, you're just not going to be typically very, very good. He is getting some talent in there. We knew he'd be able to do that with his NBA ties and fame, so to speak. But is an NIT loss to maybe the worst team in the NIT, which I'm assuming they would be? Because is Bama, obviously they're a one seed, but were they the, do they do overall seeding in the NIT?
If they do, as an NIT bracketologist, I should know the answer to this.
I mean, this is kind of your wheelhouse. I was kind of tossing you some softballs here. You said you were going to start the website. I figured maybe yesterday you could have done some research. So we don't know. How many teams are in the NIT, Davey?
There's still four region, 32.
Okay.
I hope that's right.
See, I'm trying to give you the easy ones, bud. So they probably got the...
Well, I didn't care for this year. It's like, we're going to prepare for next year.
Can you fire a coach based on what he does in the NIT? Like, do you even care?
No.
Because you know the players didn't care. I would have probably turned down the one seed in the NIT if I'm Alabama. Although South Carolina did win that bad boy, like, what, 2 years in a row under Odom? And then that set the stage for their Final Four run under Frank Martin. You know, when they fired Odom because he could only make the NIT. You got any updates over there?
No, I was actually trying to look more at the CBI and the CIT tournaments.
Yeah, that's where we need to go. Are you starting up websites?
NCAA
Are those
going to
be your satellite websites for your NIT?
See if I can get the
bracketology.
Really, it would just make the fan bases mad because all I do is talk about how bad they were and the fact that they couldn't get it anywhere else.
I just can't believe Alabama just. Again, I know it's.
And I remember when.
I get it.
Was it Konzo's second year? Maybe his first year, but MTSU came in here and just.
Okay, here it is. Rick Carl tweeted this. Alabama loses to Norfolk State, number 265 in the KenPom ratings. That's unbelievable. I mean, the NIT is the second best tournament, right? Like, that is second place.
Yeah.
And there's 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 100 teams between the NCAA full field first four and the NIT, right? 68,
yeah.
32, quick math, boys. So this is the 100th ranked team in the eyes of some tournament selection committee maybes. But again, 265 in KenPom. Alabama was the tournament's number one overall seed. So that means that this was the best, the worst, and you lose in overtime at home. Yikes.
Is that a worst loss in UMBC?
No. No. Easy. Avery Johnson now at Alabama, 75-62. One NCAA tournament 9 seed. That really should say Colin Sexton. One NCAA tournament 9 seed and three trips to the NIT. You want to know what Avery Johnson's record is in the NIT?
In the NIT, I will say it is 1-5. Am I close?
TC, you want to make a guess?
Mm.
Three trips. Obviously, he lost last night.
So probably 0-3 then.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, 0-3.
0-3. Can't get the boys excited. Mm. Can't get the boys excited to play in the NIT, Mr. Avery Johnson. Apparently Greg Byrne shook his hand as he walked off the court, though. Is that the shake of death, or is that the, hey, don't worry about it, it's the NIT, we sold some popcorn tonight, chill. Yikes. Okay, enough of the NIT. Maybe. We might bounce back into something else. I don't even know what other games took place
last night.
None of
these
teams
in the CIT.
But today, it's NCAA Tournament Thursday.
Are interesting me.
It's NCAA Tournament Thursday, so we'll take a little look at the bracket. We'll preview some of tomorrow's games. Obviously, Tennessee's matchup against Colgate. I'm sure Davey will try to talk about Duke. I will not allow him to do that. Maybe only in a very limited fashion.
I found out Coach K's record against the Vols in his
career. Oh, there's a nice little nugget about Coach K in Tennessee from his playing days that we need to get to on the other side. But it's NCAA Tournament Thursday. You're listening to 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back, 3 and Out, Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville, Houston Crest, Davey Hudson, Tanner Carson, riding with you until 10 a.m. Reminder, Elkmont Exchange today from tip-off of Game 1, 12:15, and we'll probably be there for the duration. We'll be there tomorrow, and we'll be there Sunday, God willing, and the creek don't rise. And what I mean by that is that the creek doesn't flood with Colgate toothpaste, and the Vols somehow lose an unexplainable game. We don't even want to think about that. Elkmont Exchange, North Knoxville, right off Broadway. You can't miss it. Looks like a – I don't even really know what it looks like. Looks like an art museum from the outside.
It's definitely very fancy.
They got fire pits. They got a lot of seating. They got great food. They got great beverage. You're going to want to be there. They got plenty of TVs. And we got the back room all to ourselves. Again, we'll be there pretty much all day today, all day tomorrow, and Sunday for the Tennessee game, Lord willing. Real quick, there's a couple little notes I want to get to before we kind of deep dive into this NCAA tournament. UT Fan Experience tweeted this out yesterday. I think this is official. Total attendance for Tennessee men's basketball, women's basketball, and football in 2018-2019, 1,129,973. That ranks number one nationally between those three sports and total attendance for a given university. Surprised at all? Surprised that Tennessee's number one in fan support at home games this year?
No.
No. Not at all. Football went 5-7.
And they still sell out.
Women's basketball snuck into the tournament, but Rick Barnes and the boys did not lose a game at home. But number one. No banners to hang. No championships yet. But number one in fan support and fan attendance.
Hang the banner. Hang the damn banner.
When do you hang a damn banner for your fan base? It's time, I think. I mean, man, like Nashville on Sunday, 90%, 85% orange and white. I felt so bad for
poor
all those
guys.
I felt so bad
Me
for
and
all
you
those
said
people.
The same thing on Sunday, Houston. Just how many of them had to make that early morning, late night drive to get over there and buy tickets, probably from some salty Kentucky fan, and then had
probably
to set through
did
that.
Did not discount the price enough.
Absolutely not.
Number
poor guys.
One. What do you think over there? You reading something, or do you have a take on that?
No, I mean, I'm not surprised. Whenever you view all the other programs, of course, Tennessee is one of the few stadiums in the country that holds over 100,000. And granted, we didn't sell out every game in football.
Did we have one?
I don't think we had one because Florida wasn't even
Florida
a sellout.
Wasn't a sellout. I mean, obviously, you're still getting like 85,000, 95,000, but still.
I mean, it's got to be enough whenever I'm looking at the other programs that were good in football and basketball, and at least for the ones in basketball that their arenas can hold a large number of people, and then once you factor in women's basketball into the equation,
but this
even
was
though
the worst,
been bad.
Yeah, I was gonna say this was like Tennessee's worst women's attendance year in ever.
Yeah,
maybe?
But it's still probably
since
getting
Thompson
like
Bowling Open
5,000 more than the other programs.
I guess
in
that's
women's
the key.
College basketball.
Like, I don't know. I guess I thought maybe like Baylor would have a chance because they've been pretty good in all three this year. They got an 8 seed in basketball. Women's got the one.
Yeah, the
football program was not very good
nine,
this year.
Yeah, nine.
They took a dip
Syracuse,
back.
Yeah.
Took a dip. Syracuse is one just because they can get so many in there for a basketball game. And they were halfway
true.
Decent with Dino Babers.
They set the record this year
That's
for
right.
most attended game in college basketball history.
What was that number? Do you remember? Was it 38,000? Or was it more than that?
I want to say it was 35.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty good. I don't know anything about Syracuse's women's program. Do they even play in the Carrier Dome? Probably not, do they?
I doubt it.
Is there anyone else who could really even compete? Like Texas, maybe? Like if Texas was good in the women's game? I mean, they had a pretty good year in football. They squeaked into the NCAA tournament. No, they didn't. They made the NIT, didn't they? Or no, is Texas in the NCAA tournament?
No.
No. They're 16-16.
Shaka. Sorry, sorry, bud. Tried to prop Shaka up there for a second. I guess maybe there really aren't that many who can compete. Like when
it's not going to be anybody out west.
When Tennessee football is not just completely in the toilet and the basketball team is good, you're going to be right up there with anybody. But still, I guess I figured there'd be someone else who could compete. Like Ohio State, just because their football stadium is over 100,000. Michigan, I would think, could have been up
Michigan
there.
Michigan might be the only other school I could think of. Because, I mean, they've had a top 10 basketball program and they had a really good football season until the last couple of weeks.
Boy, then it kind of fell apart, didn't it?
I mean, it always falls apart once they play Ohio State.
They lost that one early to Notre Dame, but that was a sellout. And then, yeah.
I
that,
mean, since Notre Dame that, kept doing so well, it kept Michigan in the conversation if they were to win.
Yeah, it propped up Michigan a little bit. That was a little bit of an issue there. Let's see. I thought this was pretty interesting because a lot of people so far in their NCAA tournament bracket have said Tennessee gets to the final game, and a lot of people, naturally, because coming from the other half of the bracket, would have Duke. Tennessee-Duke in the final. I think, did Lenardi have that pick? One of those guys had that. Dick Vitale has Tennessee-Duke. I don't know if that's the most common matchup for the Final Four, but it's up there as far as your ESPN brackets and what people are picking.
I'm trying to think of others. Andy Katz had Tennessee-Gonzaga.
That's right.
And Cats has Gonzaga making the final. I don't know if they had their actual championship game picks, but did you see that yesterday? A lot of the ESPN personalities had their Final Fours out. I'm thinking of Maria Taylor, Allison Williams, and I think Laura Rutledge. They all had Tennessee.
Really?
In Final Four.
Rutledge, Taylor. Yeah, who was the other one?
Allison Williams, sideline reporter.
For SEC Network?
ESPN.
She works most of the Shulman and Billis games, I thought.
She has more games than Vitale, too. So.
That's true. Yeah.
You've seen her face.
Wait, Allison Williams?
Yes. Yeah.
You'd recognize her if you saw her.
Okay, this is a different Allison Williams.
Not Brian Williams' daughter. Different Allison Williams.
That's the Allison Williams from Get Out.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I Googled Allison Williams, and I was like, I don't remember seeing her on the sidelines, but I do remember her being a racist brain stealer.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Yes, spoiler.
Sorry about that. But I think it's funny because, Duke and Tennessee have not played since, was that Konzo's first year when we played them in?
That was in Maui.
Yeah, it was 2011, 2012.
Which was weird because we wore blue shoes, and I thought that was not good. I think Duke won that game by about 10 points.
77-67.
Oh, yeah. Look at me, just remembering the spread there. But there was a very interesting note going around. Have we fact checked this? You know what I'm talking about, right?
The stat you're about to get into.
Tanner, do you know who Coach K's last loss was?
I saw Davey quote it. Yeah.
Guys, that's a big old stat. That's a big
stat. It's pretty
stat.
Funny.
Coach K, as a player at Army, in a third place game, his final game was a loss to Tennessee. It was yesterday, 50 years ago. Army basketball captain Mike Shrewsbury. Is that how you say it, Davey? Shrewsbury.
Yeah, you're close.
Krzyzewski.
I can't tell the difference.
Mike Krzyzewski walks down the streets of New York City ahead of the team's NIT semifinal game against Boston College. Army lost and then lost to Tennessee in the third place game. Krzyzewski's playing career was over. Mike Krzyzewski, final loss at Army was to Tennessee in the third place NIT matchup. Good for them for the third place game. You know, we need to bring that game back. They do it in a lot of the preseason tournaments. I think it's good to, you know exactly where you should rank people right after a big tournament like that. Dave, does that make you... Maybe you're a bad example. I need to know, like, does that make Duke fans nervous if you play Tennessee? Like, knowing that Krzyzewski, as a player, couldn't beat Tennessee, and he beat a pretty mediocre Tennessee team by 10?
I have all his matchups against the Vols right in front of me.
As a player?
As a coach. I think that was the only time.
How many are there?
There's three.
Three?
Since
I'm assuming he's 3-0, right?
No.
There's a chance. All right, give me the data.
So,
but work backwards, so at least...
Okay, Coach K, in his career as a coach, which includes two stops, Duke and Army, he ended up playing for his alma mater.
Well, coaching at his alma mater.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Unless he transferred, most people play for their alma mater.
I was going to say, he then went to coach for who was his coach at his alma mater, and Bobby Knight.
Bob Knight, yes.
But... he is 1-2 all time against the Tennessee Volunteers as a coach.
1-2, not 2-1.
1-2.
So Tennessee has a winning record as a program against Coach K.
Correct.
Hmm.
So, his first year as the coach at Army, which would have been the 75-76 season, he lost to Tennessee 99-69.
That was a blowout. We just rat-a-tatted that ass.
Yes. And then the next time he faced him was his first year at Duke, which was the 80-81 season. And he lost that game 90-69.
Nice.
Then, let's see here.
So he went from, he lost by
30.
Lost by 30, lost by 21, and then won by 10.
Yeah.
So clearly the all-time differential is still deeply in Tennessee's favor.
So after the 81 loss... won four national championships.
Okay.
Then
we're going to hit a quick break.
In 2011.
We're going to come back after the break, and then we're going to talk
Tennessee
more basketball. Nah, none of that stuff really matters.
Then won another national championship.
Tennessee basketball next on the show. This is 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number one here, Three and Out, Fox Sports Knoxville, the Fan Run Radio Studios. Crisp, clean, ready for limited action today, as we'll be at Elkmont starting around noon. Well, the shows will start at 1. I mean, we're not going to kick Cody and John out of here beforehand, but just saying. You're not getting the full slate. But the drive, Talk Sports, or it's optional, excuse me, going to be live at Elkmont today. Again, starting at 1 o'clock, the radio will light up, and then we're going to be watching basketball all day long. Sorry about interrupting that, Coach K. We were up against the break, you know, and we got to keep it tight around here. It's just important. You know, you got to stay on schedule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting news out of Kentucky. Did you guys see that P.J. Washington has been in a boot since Saturday?
I heard that he messed his ankle up against Tennessee, but I did not know he was actually in a boot.
He's been in a boot all week. Calipari said yesterday he wants to play. Well, yeah, I would think so.
Most basketball players want to play.
Apparently, there's been some rumblings in Lexington that Coach K's receiving interest from maybe some NBA teams. He said yesterday in a tweet, he always has some pretty interesting tweets. What was the footprints in the sand tweet? Do you remember that one?
I was walking on the beach yesterday. I saw some footprints in the sand.
It reminded me of that poem, Footprints in the Sand. Deep thoughts with John Calipari. Here's what he tweeted last night, 10:32 p.m. Before I go to bed, let me just say this. I'm coaching at the University of Kentucky. In my opinion, there's no better job in the world to coach basketball. My plan and my desire is to retire at Kentucky. I think the university feels the same as I do, and we've talked openly about it. Now let's focus on this game tomorrow. I guess that puts that to bed, at least for now. I mean, I feel like he gets interest all the time from the NBA. He's turned him down every time.
I thought that was a UCLA rumor that he was referring to.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was like another college program because, of course, they fired Steve Alford.
I mean, come on. Like, who's gonna willingly leave the SEC right now and go to the Pac-12? What would that number – what's he making right now? 9-point-something? And he got an extra million for that Facebook feature they did last year, which he, by the way, has earmarked for charity donations, he says. What would they have to pay him to get him to UCLA? Just cost of living alone. It's like it'd have to be, I mean, $9 million in UCLA, not nearly $9 million in Lexington, Kentucky. 12?
If they need a funnel, 13, some funds. I know a guy.
Yeah, UCLA, they need to be very careful right now. They can't afford much more bad publicity. But I think the P.J. Washington thing's really interesting. I mean, probably not against, you know, Abilene. But if he's not 100%, because we know Reed Travis still isn't 100%. That knee brace was humongous, although I thought he played pretty well in the SEC tournament, you know, until he fell down. But P.J. Washington being a little gimpy heading into this tournament, a lot of people, I listened to Doug Gottlieb this morning, he says he has Kentucky going to the Final Four because they're just so long and athletic and good, and this is typically the time of the year when Calipari gets his guys playing their best. If P.J. Washington's limited, or if he re-aggravates that ankle, I mean, he's the one that makes them go. I don't think anyone doubts that, right? Like, he's their guy. They've got some other guys who are good. Like, Hero's good. After that, though, like, as far as scoring threats, man, like, if they don't have Washington playing at his mid-season SEC schedule level, that's not even an Elite Eight team, in my opinion.
Houston Sox sent us an article that basically says that it's a reported $10 million offer up front to get Calipari to UCLA.
That's nothing. A $500,000 raise? Give me a break. That's not even a raise. With the state of California, with taxes and cost of living, that he's taking a pay cut. And he's got to go to L.A., which, I mean, L.A. is fine, but it's not Lexington, Kentucky. See, he can own Lexington. He's like the boss hog in Lexington. Man, you go to L.A., you're just another dude. That's a bad offer by UCLA. Like, if you're going to spend that kind of money, you got to make that, like, $12, $13 million. You got to just make it ridiculous if you want to even have a shot. Is this UCLA just trying to prove that they can still be relevant? Because surely they don't make this offer thinking he's going to take that offer, right? $500,000 raise, ship everything across country.
If you're being realistic.
To the Pac-12, the failing Pac-12.
I mean, I don't know their situation as far as their athletic director, but it's like, hey, he could be like, I'm at least trying. Like I'm offering the big guys. Like, I mean, that's something you didn't really see happen here when we've gone through coaching searches.
But that's what I'm saying. With that offer, though, like, yeah, like it says we're still a big boy, but it's also a hollow offer. Like, you're never going to get him offering $10 million. It seems like all posturing. Like, yeah, we'll offer $10 million to a coach. Doesn't matter to us. Like, yeah, but if offering a guy $10 million to take a pay cut, because that's with taxes and cost of living, like, that is a pay cut. And frankly, what UCLA basketball is right now, it's a prestige cut. It's an everything cut.
Yeah, but
what was UCLA's record this year? Were they in the top half of the Pac-12 this year?
They were probably middle of the pack.
I mean, come on. Come on, UCLA. Like, you're not even really trying. You're trying to try. That's not a real try. There's no way you would get Calipari for $10 million. I'm telling you, that number in the state of California would have to be 12. At least.
They were like right in the middle of the Pac-12, by the way. 9-9 conference, 17-16 overall.
17-16 yes. Overall? So are they in the NIT?
No, they don't have a coach, so I don't think they're doing anything right now.
Oh, they
now.
Turned it down?
Probably, yeah, no. No postseason. It's over.
They got a lot of time to sit around and mull over offers to John Calipari, I guess. Horrible offer. Horrible, horrible offer. Let's see. Here's what Calipari said on PJ Washington. Said x-rays and the MRI were negative, but Washington was sent to a specialist to make sure he wouldn't do further damage to his foot if he plays. Calipari said he sprained the foot in an SEC semifinal loss against Tennessee. Whew. Sprained that pride, too, didn't you, buddy? And has been in a walking boot since Sunday. Calipari said this. He wants to play. Well, you know me. Let's go get one more level with this. We sent him to a specialist to make sure he can't harm himself, but we expect him to play. Washington leads Kentucky in scoring, 14.8 points per game, and rebounds at 7.8. Teammates deferred to Calipari when asked about Washington's injury, but said they'd be ready to step up without him. I mean, that's a nice thing to say, but you really need that guy. We don't really rely on one guy to step up. We rely on the whole team to step up, said Nick Richards. Everyone's prepared for that. If it comes to it, then so be it. Everyone's got to step up and bring more toward the team. Washington missed Kentucky's media availability and shoot-around Wednesday. Missed the shoot-around. Is he playing? Like, is he going to play? Saying he wants to play and he's going to play are very, very different.
I mean, if it's Abilene Christian, it's not going to matter.
No, I agree with you. But I'm thinking about, you know, game two and beyond. You're right. Abilene Christian, they can afford to not beat them by 30 and rest. Would you play PJ Washington?
No.
I don't think I would.
Not against these guys.
I don't think I would either. I've got another thing I want to mention to you guys. We'll talk about this to kick off hour two. I was listening to Doug Gottlieb on the way in. His reason as to why Tennessee could not win the Final Four was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my entire life. Doug Gottlieb, basketball expert, will break it down next. Hour two.